money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
It's Merry Christmas this morning. Here in the studio, because if you are watching on YouTube, you'll see that Reb and I have matching Christmas garb on today. So welcome to the show. If you're listening to the show, well, you're missing out on the visual experience. I think
people are just fine listening, though.
I'm not saying don't listen. I'm just saying that there's more to experience with the visual part,
which is
a little bit of a segue into today's show. We'll get there. But before we do, I want to give a huge shout out to notmine.ca and Financial Discipleship Canada. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's show and the previous shows. Over the course of the year, we've got a number of sponsors that really help us make this show possible. And so I want to just shout out to notmine.ca this morning. And right away, we decided we're just going to jump right into the scripture verse.
Well, you're going to read it because I love hearing you read scripture. But I actually had this thought about, so just so you guys know that when we prepare radio shows, like, we start in one place and then it ends up in another often. But I write show notes and I'm like, what are we going to talk about this Christmas? Mm-hmm. And I keep hearing the words from financial people, people in the church, be prepared. Mm-hmm. Be prepared for what's ahead. Like when you prepare for something, it's what's ahead. You don't prepare for something that is in the past usually. If you have a holiday.
No, you don't. I mean, if it's in the past, that's...
I mean, you deal with the repercussions of what's happened and you maybe have to make decisions about that. I'm thinking about getting into debt and stuff. But I was thinking about be prepared. And then I was thinking about the season of preparation that Christmas is.
Right.
And Advent.
Commonly called Advent.
Yes. And I was thinking about in some traditions. Now, I didn't grow up with this in the tradition in my church. But in churches I've been a part of and intersected with over the last years, at church you light the Advent candle. Mm-hmm. And then now we have a little Advent wreath in our home. And every Sunday, hope, love, joy, peace. And I don't know which is which. I think love is the last one, but I'm not sure. Someone out there is probably saying to
there's
the radio,
an order. We know.
Yeah, we know.
Haven't
yeah.
quite got it right.
So, and as we light those candles in preparedness, the light comes, which also got me thinking about the preparation of the light of Jesus that has come into the world and how we receive that light even today in our journeys and in our finances. So you can see where we start and then where we go, and then we'll see what
you guys
where we end up today. But anyway, I picked the verses from John because I do love the expression of the truth of Jesus from 1 John. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and again, as this is December 20th. I'll just plant this little seed that tomorrow, the 21st or 20th, 21st, depending on your how you look at that, these 2 days are the darkest days of the year, the days with the least amount of light.
And in Ottawa, in the area where
yes,
we
of
live.
Of course, yes. So
I follow a lady who lives in the North Pole, and they're in the middle of polar night, so
that's
it's always
right. So it's always that. But here in Ottawa, the 20th, 21st, again, depending on how that goes, these are the shortest days of the year, thus the ones with the most darkness. And we're going to read from John chapter 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. And then we're going to jump all the way down to verse 29, and we're going to keep reading. This is John chapter 1, verse 29, and it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing in water.' And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'"
Well, and I want, you didn't read a couple of the other verses about, so I just want to go back to when John is talking about, he gets asked, "Are you him?" And he says, "No, I'm not him." But I just want to go, "He who comes after me," you read that, "is preferred before me," because, yeah, you read that part. Mm-hmm. But John is saying, "I'm not the light. Mm-hmm. I came as a witness to testify to that light. The light that gives light to every man is coming into the world." There is a phrase, I don't know which verse it is, but John says that in that flow of those verses. Mm-hmm. And I just really love that, you know, you read, "The Word became flesh." That word is life. Mm-hmm. That life is light. And then there's a story of John, which we read in the Advent story. Everyone's probably been hearing about Zachariah and his wife having Zachariah and Elizabeth having John. Mm-hmm. And he declares here in the first book of first chapter of John, "I am not him." Mm-hmm. But I am here to declare and be witness to the light. And he was preparing people. A voice, doesn't Isaiah say it? A voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And John was in preparation. Like, we're talking about that word. He was helping prepare the way so that when Jesus came, people would be open-hearted to receive that life and light that Jesus was. And I was reading.
So let me go back, because you're right. I jumped over verse 6, and that's the verses that you were saying. Now,
yes.
It's worth going back, so we're going to go back.
Okay.
And just jump in. John chapter 1, verse 6 says, "And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." And of course, John's talking about Jesus here. And in verse 10 says, "And he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." Jesus came to his own. So I just put Jesus in there. Verse 11, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in Christ's name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God."
There's so much in this passage.
Like, we're not going to preach the sermon. We could probably just keep reading this over and over again for the next 20 minutes just to let it sink in. Again, here we are, December 20th. It's the Advent season. In fact, we're coming to the end of the Advent season, which is the season of preparation for the light, right?
And wasn't that what we just read about? Because the season of preparation, John was actually coming.
We are in John's season. John was ahead, and John said, you know, people got a little confused because they were like, "You're speaking all these things. Are you the light?" And John very clearly says, no, you don't understand. I'm not the light. And what's fascinating about the testimony of John is that John literally says, "You don't understand, people. When the light comes, I'm not even worthy to undo his sandals. I'm not even worthy." The light is something that is just beyond our comprehension.
Well, and when he sees him coming, he says, I must decrease so that Jesus will increase. The light will increase. I'm coming to the end of my mm-hmm. job now because of the preparedness part. Why are we talking about this? I just find it absolutely beautiful and fascinating, the role of John, but that he declares this, that he is that the word then in the book of John then declares he's the word and he's life and he's light. And John the Baptist was there to declare it and to prepare for it. And I'm thinking of this Advent season as we light the candles mm-hmm. of joy and love and peace and hope. We light these candles and it is not in scripture. There's no Advent wreath system set up in the New Testament that they did. But we have created this
wonderful remembrance
yeah. really of Jesus's coming and why we celebrate, and then how this breathes life into our own stories, into mm-hmm. our own nitty-gritty lives, because Jesus is so intimate. He cares about the nitty-gritty of your life and mine.
I was just going to say, I mean, this picture of the light coming, again, this is a financial show. This yes. is where we talk about the hard issues of money. Right. And we know that sometimes when we look at our money stories, for some of us in different seasons, that's a pretty dark place. And you're like, how can I anticipate the light of God coming in? And I love what verse 12 says, because verse 12, again, I'm not going to make too far a draw out of scripture into our financial lives, but verse 12 says, as many as received him, that's as many as received Christ, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And this is something that is when we think about our finances and we think about being the children of God, our children, again, I'm going to just make the connection here. Our children are born into our family, and I don't know when they start recognizing money as a part and all of the things that we do as parents to keep them warm and safe. But right at the beginning, when they're first born, they're not thinking about any of that, no. right? They're not thinking about any of that. They are just simply going, I am 100% going to trust God, trust my parents. I'm going to trust them to take care of me. Mm. And this is the beginning. This is the Advent. This is John saying, listen, you're now being invited into the family of God through Jesus Christ as the children of God.
And you have the light.
And you have the light. And so he says, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. And I love that, because the will of the flesh, we're not doing it on of ourselves. And it's not the will of man. It's not somebody else. And we can connect that to our finances right. and say, can we come? Can we anticipate God coming in his light, in his life, as children? As children, so just saying, to receive it.
Well, and you're just reminding us, because mm-hmm. that's actually some of this in preparing for what's to come in the new year. We're remembering now the light that has come, and that we are his children. And because we're his children, we have his light in us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we may feel like you've already mentioned it, that our finances are pretty dark. We're doing all we can. Mm-hmm. We're trying to pay off our debt. But like this year has been really hard with the interest rates or mm-hmm. inflation, and you're doing all you can, and you feel like your finances are still immersed in darkness. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I just was doing some writing this week, and I wrote down this thought: when we've prepared all we can, when we're doing all we're able to do, and it doesn't seem to be enough, mm. Jesus comes to us as he did 2,000 years ago, and he tells us that the God that we love and that is our Father is the God of the impossible, and he is able. And this reminded me of something that our friend Ray gave me, this book, The Advent Overture, that is written by Stuart McAlpine. And he just says this, he's talking about the contrariness of Christmas. Mm. In other words, like Jesus came, you know, in poverty, but we are all about presents and spending lots of money. We right. even go in debt for it. Like there's just some of these things we look at and we think this just doesn't make sense. You know, there's heavenly choirs that come, but then that's not how, like we don't celebrate it like that. We actually are more focused on, not on the heavenly choir and the announcement. We're more focused on announcing Santa's come and he's come down the chimney, you know, mm-hmm. all of these contrary things. And he's talking about the people in the story, like, Zachariah, like Joseph, like Mary and Elizabeth, who absolutely saw that this isn't possible. You know, how is it possible? Zachariah was actually dumbfounded, literally couldn't speak for 9 months because mm-hmm. he didn't believe that they were going to have a child. So Stuart McAlpine writes this: when he sees us, when God sees us as we are, he sees nothing that's contrary, that's beyond his power to intervene, beyond the power of his grace and love to integrate and to reconcile his story with ours. The fact is, in the terms of this nativity story, Elizabeth needed more than a fertility clinic. Joseph needed more than a divorce attorney. Mary needed more than a pregnancy test. Zachariah needed more than a faith message to sort out all of these things that he was being told. The shepherds needed more than an invitation from the mayor to get them into town. They needed an angel chorus from heaven. Mm-hmm. The wise men needed more than Herod's help could give them. They needed dreams to warn them. Thank goodness the opening volley from heaven in the story is the one we still need the most. Nothing is impossible with God, because Mary says to Gabriel, how can this be?
Sure.
And then he ends by saying, nothing is impossible. And I think one thing that Jesus brought to us when he brought the light, and he's saying, I'm going to bring my light. I'm going to dispel darkness to the point where darkness won't even understand it. Darkness mm-hmm. won't be able to put the truth out. And I think that's one thing that I am excited about today, that even in your financial story, even in our financial story, as we navigate growing expenses, he is still the same. He has not changed. And he's asking us to remember in our preparedness, in this season, when we've looked at love, hope, joy, and peace, as we've lit the candles, we are lighting the truth in our own homes and in our churches, and saying the light is always the overcomer. Jesus is the overcomer, and it is possible with God. God is able. There is more statements of God's ability than his inability in scripture. Mm-hmm. We may have forgotten. We may say, you know what? I'm doing all my can and God is just not meeting me. And I would really challenge you to step back a moment and to think about him coming. Mm. And how he has changed your circumstances over the years, and how he has brought light to your life, maybe even in your financial story in the past, and you've forgotten it. He is the Redeemer. He is the light bringer. He is the one who's proclaiming to us today, God is able.
Mm-hmm. And I love it. You know, again, we started with John 1, and the first couple of words of John 1 are really, you know, the world is in chaos and darkness. I mean, I can identify with that in terms of there's sometimes my life is in chaos and darkness.
It's messy.
And God said, let there be light. And that's the beginning of time. And it's almost like we hear this echo throughout all of history of God saying, and let there be light in your life, in my life, in the life of you as you're listening, and saying, you know, there's this echo. And then we all of a sudden get this, we're talking about Christmas, we're talking about Christ coming, and there's this, the echo turns into an announcement where it's like, and now the light has come again, you know, the light has come again in Christ, and the invitation, just like back in the Garden of Eden, although I think maybe in the Garden of Eden, when God said it the first time, there wasn't an audience to respond to that. Now, when God says, let there be light, and Christ enters the world, there is humanity in anticipation, needing the light. Sometimes, you know, in humanity, some of us don't even know that we need the light. We're stumbling around in the darkness and we're like, wait a minute, where's the light switch? I can turn on a light and things will become more clear. And so Jesus comes and brings the light, brings clarity, brings the kingdom.
I think that's super fascinating because we may not even know that we're walking in darkness, even in our finances. Mm-hmm. We may not even consider that there's another way to live our life financially or live our life with our money and possessions. I mean, if you guys listen to us enough, you know that this show isn't just about practical things, but heart things, not just about hard things, but practical things. There are things that you may be doing. Maybe there are things you're not doing and the light hasn't yet shone into that space. Mm. And here is the invitation of God to remind us, to tell us, you know, there are some dark places. We like darkness.
We do. Sometimes. I mean, like, scripture says it in numerous places. we like darkness for whatever the reason is. And however, again, we're not going to go into that.
No, but do we really want to face the truth? Like when when God tells us through the wisdom Proverbs, get out of the hand of the debtor. Mm-hmm. Like if you're in debt, like run.
Yeah.
But do we look at that verse and say, oh man,
I'm going to run to instead of away.
Right. And I mean, I'm pulling that as an example, and maybe there's people won't like us saying that this morning when it's supposed to be all nice about Christmas, but really, do I want to face that? Do I want to say, you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to go put it on my credit card because I just want that thing. And we're really just closing the door to we're not even asking Jesus. Like we say all the time, make every spending decision a spiritual one. Can you imagine if you and I lived that way? Like, I can't say that every day I wake up and I ask, okay, where am I going to
get? No, but we are practicing it.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
I love that because, you know, and that's a great example of, you know, we've said many times on the show, we don't have it all figured out. We're having this conversation, but you know, one of the things that we practice and we get to practice is, and I think this relates to today is that the practice of turning ourselves towards the light and saying, I'm a child of God. Mm-hmm. And I can turn myself towards God, away from the darkness and towards the light, and towards the light. And that might look like reading scripture. That might look like, you know, participating in worship and spending. That might look like going for a walk and having an argument with God about whatever's going on in your life and saying, listen, I don't understand, and anticipating that He is able.
But I also have this picture of these old ledger books and they're hidden underneath these dark wooden tables. And Jesus has come into the room, but we've tucked them under these wooden tables. Sure. And He's actually inviting us.
Let's bring it into the light.
To bring it. We don't have to light any candles. He's in the room. Mm-hmm. And we bring it to the light and we dust off the covers and we start turning the pages. And He starts pinpointing and saying, look where I provided for you here. Mm-hmm. Look where I provided for you here. Look here. This is where you're attempting to try and do it on your own. Mm-hmm. And then we just keep turning the pages and not with condemnation. He doesn't come with condemnation. He comes and says, look here where I have taken care of you. Look here. And as we get exposed to more of His truth over our financial story, where He can say, oh man, I saw you struggling here. I'm so sorry. That was hard, wasn't it? He's saying those kinds of words over our life. And as we turn the page, all of a sudden we come to 2025. And there it is, blank. And He's looking at us and He's saying, I can do this with you. I can shine my light on all of it. And it's going to be a journey and you're going to be learning and you're going to fall and you're going to fail. But I'm right here. And I think, and He's saying, God is able. God is able. I love the verses in 2 Corinthians that we memorize with our kids. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, will have an abundance for every good work. It's given in context of giving and having open hands into our communities. But God is saying, I have enough grace for you to provide everything you need. And this is the light on our finances, I think we need, that we can't shrink back from. Even when we feel despair, turn to him this Christmas. Take the ledger books from out from underneath those dark wooden tables and lay them open and let him show you how he has met you.
Yeah, and I think just, again, maybe a little reminder as we come to the end of the show, there's two things I want to do. Number one, just remind you that, you know, when God said, let there be light, that was the beginning of his demonstration of his immense goodness to us. This is a good thing. And he has never stopped being good. He's never, when he invites us to open up those books and dust it off, it's not out of condemnation. It's out of goodness, right? It's out of his goodness that he wants to bring things into the light. And so, that's the first reminder. And there's nine things that you've written down here, and I want to run through them because I think they're really important. So you may have to remind
them. And I'll have them in the show notes today.
For sure. Number one, he is able to make you stand from Romans 14:4. He is able to establish you from Romans 16:25. He's able to keep you falling and present you faultless before his glory from Jude 24. He's able to make all grace abound towards you from 2 Corinthians 9. He's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day from 2 Timothy 1. He is able to build you up from Acts 20. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think from Ephesians chapter 3. And he is able to save you to the utmost from Hebrews chapter 7. And we want to leave you. We have a 1 minute left.
You just missed one thing.
Did I miss
that
one?
He's able to subdue all things. That's Philippians 3. And that's a really important one in terms of our finances.
Thanks. Yeah. Why don't you pray?
Thanks, Father, so much that you are able and that you brought the light of your love through Jesus to us. And you still bring him to us. And you tell us that we can invite you in, and you tell us that you are able to meet us and help us and walk with us. So I pray that we would receive this word at the end of this year and as we head into 2025, that you are able and that we walk in your light because we are your children. Thank you so much. In your precious name, amen.
And thank you for joining us as we come into the Christmas season. A very happy and hearty Merry Christmas from Reb and I and the team, Christmas. All of our team at More Than Enough. And we just pray that you will take some time, even in the next few days, in anticipation of Christ coming and the celebration that we get to participate in that. Thanks, and join us next week before the end of the new year for As We Talk Money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.